Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT, Community Organization. Tonight's topic, in the news, we have three topics. Louisville police officer in training pulls a black woman and her paramour over during a traffic stop and gropes her vagina during a search. No charges were filed, no arrests were made, not even a ticket was written. Jalen Randall, a 20-year-old black man, was shot in the back of the neck by Houston police last month. And of course, Texas school children begged for help with officers waiting outside of Robb Elementary School. With this Louisville situation, Louisville police pulled Kylie Coates, a black woman, over for an alleged traffic violation after another officer smelling marijuana on the male passenger. They were asked to exit the vehicle and police proceeded to search them and the vehicle. The police in training, Officer Galnett, and officer in training touched the woman's private area with the palm and fingers, palm of his hand and his fingers, while searching the woman. I think I read somewhere where he even reached inside her pants. Anyway, the training officer stopped the officer in training and explained males can search females but are supposed to use the back of their hand. So there's a premise right there that I'm sure a lot of women and men will not agree with. You can grab, touch somebody's private part with the back of the hand. So my question is, was this couple targeted by these police officers? Anyway, so I started looking up things, you know, like I do. I went to find law, sexual assault, right? Sexual assault is touching someone in an unwanted or offensive way, right? Generally constitutes sexual assault, right? In Kentucky, the crime is called sexual abuse, right? Divided into three separate crimes, right? Subjected or first-degree sexual abuse, subjecting another person to sexual contact by forcible compulsion or fear, right? That's very important, right? Third one is engaging in sexual contact with someone who is incapable of consenting, right? Age or mental incapacitated, right? Young, you know, legally not considered of age of consent. And offender is third is the offender is 21 years old or older, and the victim is less than 16, right? And the victim is subjected to sexual contact. The offender masturbates in the victim's presence, or the offender masturbates while the victim can see or hear him or her via electronic means. Anyway, first-degree sexual abuse is a Class D felony, punishable by imprisonment for between 1 and 5 years. However, if the victim is less than 12 years old, then the offense is a Class C felony, punishable by imprisonment between 5 and 10 years, right? So it is a crime to touch someone's private part without their permission, in right? It's called sexual assault or, in Louisville, sexual abuse. And fear is a factor here, right? Anybody that's been stopped by anybody carrying a gun, fear is automatically a factor, right? Now, you got the police officer or not, that's a factor, especially for black folks in America. I went to a dictionary and looked up what a body search was. It said search of a person by law enforcement, in order to find hidden object or substance, such as a gun, explosive, or illegal drug, made usually by patting the clothed body and sometimes examining body orifices, okay? So that's interesting right there, because we know nobody's examining orifices unless it's the mouth on the street, on the highway. That's inappropriate. Then I looked at CDN penal reform, instead of body search, right? Usually a systematic search that takes place upon admission to a place of detention, a prisoner, like that, you know what I'm saying, a jail, right? Go to county jail, get violated, right? So The woman was not under arrest, and the highway is not a place of detention. So in terms of looking at orifices and things like that, because that's the place I know where people look. They ain't supposed to touch anyway. Not supposed to be touching your groin or nothing like that. Right? The officer did not look into her mouth, her bra, or her shoes. So from NOLO Online, the Supreme Court decision of Terry versus Ohio. Why? Because there's a thing called the Terry Frisk, named after this Supreme Court decision. Almost that stop and search or stop and frisk. You know, the officer must confine these kinds of frisks to the suspect's outer clothing. They can't go rummaging, digging through your pockets, he said. Can't go in your pockets. So here we go again with the constant theme. You cannot go inside of someone's clothes, right? If the officer feels something like a weapon during the frisk, he or she can reach into your clothing to retrieve it. So if you feel a weapon, gun, and say if I stuck a gun right up in front of my pubic area, he can't reach in there and grab that gun out, right? If I stuck a couple of bags of dope down there, reach in and get that, right? All right? Even if the object isn't a weapon, right? So that goes to the couple of bags of dope. You know, when I'm a jewel thief and I did that, you know, Anyway. An officer who feels something during a Terry frisk that obviously isn't a weapon, but is obviously contraband, can seize it, right? If an officer didn't have a legal basis for a Terry frisk, very important here, legal basis. You got to have, you just can't stop people walking down the street and search them, right? Pat them down. That is illegal, right? That means if they didn't have legal basis for a Terry frisk or went beyond the limits of such a search, resulting evidence will be normally inadmissible in court, right? If the defense filed a motion to suppress the evidence, right? So that means they're saying even if you're guilty, this is such a violation, we're not even going to allow your evidence in court, right? So if police can't go through your pockets, they most certainly can't go in your pants and touch your genitals or private parts by law, not with the back or front of their hand. You cannot examine someone's private orifices on the street or in public. Those who do so are operating outside of the law, even if they are supposed to be representing and enforcing the law. It is not a function of law enforcement to break the very law they are supposed to be enforcing. Acting outside of the law constitutes a criminal act, or it should for everyone. Touching someone's private part is a sexual assault, whether you have just joined the police force or have 20 years on the job. Are they kidding? This incident is an example of how police are not subject to the same rules of law that citizens are, and how crimes against black people go unrecognized, unidentified, and unpunished. As long as there is no consequences, no severe consequences, black people's civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights will continue to be violated. From the DLG, the general principles established in the Terry versus Ohio have not changed, they said. Okay? Terry stops continue to constitute a seizure under the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, right? Because they are a temporary restriction of a person's liberty by means of show of authority or use of physical force, all right? So they recognize that the police stop you, they're using the authority or use of physical force, but you only have authority to stop people because you got a gun on you. So don't think that a cop has any authority other than the fact that just his voice or anything like that. The only reason why he has that authority is he got that authority on his hip, and he got more authorities in the vicinity. All right, so while considering a seizure, an investigatory stop does not need to be supported by probable cause. Instead, it must be justified by reasonable and articulable suspicion that the person stopped has committed a crime or is about to do so. A reasonable, articulable suspicion is less than probable cause. It requires only a minimum level of objective justification. The stop must also be reasonably related in scope to the circumstances which justify the interference in the first place, right? Reasonable suspicion exists when the officer has a particularized and objective basis for suspecting a person of criminal activity given the totality of the circumstances. Now, this is a car stop. So how many car stops do people get searched? Traffic stop originally. So you don't get searched in a traffic stop unless you they think that you have something else going on, right? So goes on, that person is identified, but somehow the woman got searched. Reasonable suspicion need not involve the observation of illegal conduct, but does require more than just a hunch. Okay, so you can't have a hunch that she may have something on her, right? Sometimes during a Terry stop, a person conducts the person's conduct or gestures or movement lead an officer to believe that the person is armed and could be dangerous. It's mainly Terry stopped the many for initially for weapons, apparently, right? The courts have allowed officers to conduct pat downs known as frisks, which are a superficial outer clothing search of a person for weapons, right? So these stops, frisks, and these guys are looking for weapons, okay? These guys aren't apparently looking for weapons. The couple was very cooperative and friendly during the alleged traffic stop. The court allows pat-downs or superficial outer clothing search for weapons for a reason, because it is beyond the limits of such a search to touch the private parts or inside the clothing, okay? That means male or female police officers placing their hands in or outside of someone's pants, touching their private parts constitutes a violation of a Supreme Court ruling, right? These Louisville police officers and DA either don't know or don't care about the law. A police officer acting outside of the limits of the law is, in fact, committing a crime. A criminal act. Somehow they don't seem to be that. They either get fired, leave, or something. Anything. It's anything but the criminal act thing. Like, if you do the same thing, you're gonna get a charge immediately. Anyway, first, safety is a concern for all people. You cannot use fear as a justification for violating somebody. Okay, that whole thing about police want to be safe. Civilians want to be safe too, right? So that's not good enough reason. As previously stated, get the racist and aggressive, scared police who have animosity, hatred, and disdain for the people in the community they patrol out of law enforcement. Get them out of law enforcement. Okay, as previously stated on all other shows, get the racist, aggressive, scared police who have animosity, hatred, and disdain for the people in the community they patrol out of law enforcement with the quickness. Second, stop making excuses for police misconduct and violations of law, constitutional rights in person. Trainee Gilnett, right, asked a woman to get out of the car after another officer said he smelled marijuana on the passenger, which is a boyfriend, right? That could only be a boyfriend who admitted he had smoked marijuana earlier that day. Nothing was found in the car on the man or on the woman. The woman was not given a ticket for the alleged traffic stop. Possibly because there was no legal reason to stop them, thus no reason to search them. The woman did not receive a ticket. Is that supposed to offset the egregious sexual assault, or is it indicative of the absence of a traffic violation? I never heard of anyone say that the couple was under arrest, nor that they were Mirandized, read their rights. So why are they searching the driver if the passenger smells like marijuana and admits to smoking that day? Third, just because it is an authorized police procedure or law does not make it appropriate, right, ethical, right? If right by law and procedure were the standard, black people would still be chattel slaves in America, and the officer could have stuck his hand up both of their behinds without legal consequence. The officer in training would have plenty of opportunities to search suspects in actual crimes. So it's no need to stop these people just part of this guy's training of a regiment. You got real crime going on in your city. And I wonder, if you're teaching him how to identify a police officer, who's address a police officer who's committing a crime. But that's another show. Anyway, I heard a black news commentator state that the training officer was a good man because he stopped the trainee when he saw him touch the woman's vagina with the palm of his fingers and hand, right? Well, a good man or a good police officer would not have asked a woman to submit to being violated physically, mentally, and illegally if she is guilty or suspect by association. The other three officers are guilty and suspect by association in their support of searching a woman. Her passenger had used and smelled like marijuana, as stated by one of the other officers. They have reasonable cause to subject him to a Terry search, not her. The training officer apologized for what the trainee did, which was broke the law and violated her right by going into her pants and or touching her private part with the palm of his hand, but did not arrest him. He didn't arrest the guy for touching her, doing something wrong, right? Breaking the law. That's sexual abuse, right? That is because police are not held to the same standard of law as civilians are, even when they act outside of the limits of the law. You understand? Because do I get to do that? Do I get to do something to somebody and say, he's new on the job. He didn't know he couldn't do that. Come on, because we all know you ain't supposed to grab nobody private part. Unwarranted. We all know what that is. Police, civilians, anybody know. Come on. He should apologize for not arresting the officer breaking the law and supervising and encouraging the possible illegal search and seizure, which led to the woman being harassed and sexually assaulted. If the woman did not smell like marijuana and did not admit to smoking marijuana, why are they searching her? Why are they searching in her pants? That is hardly a pat-down or appropriate body search. The officers had no respect for the couple or the law. Was this couple racially targeted? That can't happen in Louisville, right? Louisville legislation and law enforcement appear to be targeting black folks just like their ancestors did, and getting away with it just like their ancestors did. Was this a legitimate traffic stop, or were they targeted by this good man? Fact is, this is a very intimidated encounter with three white Southern police officers in Louisville, in which the couple offered no resistance for fear of their lives. The the boyfriend stated, Officer Tyler Gilnett looked him in his face as he placed his hands in his woman's pants. I just read that from this is a conglomeration of information. So the officer was not charged with sexually assaulting the black woman, but later received a slap on the wrist for drug trafficking marijuana, which he stole during the commission of his job as a law enforcement officer. Here again, I'm bringing this up because this guy is drug trafficking, and basically he wasn't thrown in jail. Seems like it would be worse for a police officer to break the law, especially while he's doing his job. It doesn't make sense. You want us to trust these guys, but you have this other law for them that says, hey, well, if he does something wrong, we'll fire him. Or, you know, you could sue the city if he does something wrong to you. But Lord, assault is assault. Abuse is abuse. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me unless you're trying to usher in the police state where police can do what they want to do. Anyway, did anyone reach in Gilnett's pants and check with the backside or palms of the hand to see if he had drugs in his or behind his testicles? Anybody reaching his pants to check for anything after this event? Because what about his girl? Anybody reach up her ass? What do you think? Surely there is a trainee who could use the trainee. Search him, you know, why not put a trainee to search him? Anyway, I'm just saying, Gilnett, of course, is a Caucasian white cop in Louisville, right? So am I dreaming or am I just speculating? Or is it a chance that Louisville police are pulling over racially profiling and targeting black people, pulling over for illegal traffic stops? Is that possible? Because it's not anything that's being brought up here, but I'm bringing it up. Police pulled a black woman over for alleged traffic violation, exited the vehicle, proceeded to search her, and an officer in training touched a private area with the palm of his hand and fingers while searching. Training officer stopped. The officer in training explained that males can search females but are supposed to use the back of their hand. And that was, he apologized because he shouldn't use the palm of his hand. That's what he said. Now, that ain't no apology to me. This is a stop where one of the passengers admitted to smoking marijuana, who smelled like marijuana. Not the woman. Nobody said the woman smelled like marijuana. She never admitted to smoking marijuana. We searched her for. The other officer asked the woman if she had anything on her, right? After he stopped her, right? The guy from the trainee from searching her, right? He asked her, did she have anything on her? She went, the woman said she didn't have anything on her. The officer then allowed her to walk back to the driver's door and close it. That's how much of concern they actually had about the situation. It seemed like these guys just did to do what they want to do. We're the police. We have suspicion that you have something on you. We're going to search you. Let my man get some training in on that. There was a child inside the vehicle. An apology came from the woman. She apologized after this man touched up on her in front of her man who couldn't or didn't do nothing. You know, because of his three armed police officers, he would have died on the spot. The training officer attempted to explain away the sexual assault by saying, oops, my trainee grabbed your vagina. It was a rookie mistake. I apologize. That's not exactly what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but that's all it comes down to. The hell with the sexual assault is, oops, there it is. My trainee grabbed your vagina. It's a rookie mistake. Sorry. The male passenger, the boyfriend, and the woman vocally expressed they are supposed to get a female officer to search a woman. The training officer stated, with a male officer, he is supposed to be done with the back of the hand. Right? That makes no sense to me. All right? We're talking about the man touching the lady's private parts. He's talking about it's supposed to be done with the back of the hand. Why did he not mention this thing about the private parts? So it seems to me he's trying to smooth it over, right? I thought, had a crime been committed? Was the woman under arrest? Was the man under arrest? What's going on here? This started off at the traffic stop. Now you got two people being searched because they smelled marijuana on one. So if you smell marijuana on one or not on the other, there's a logical chance that the one that doesn't smell like marijuana wasn't smoking marijuana. So if you any kind of a thinker, you could think that. And if you think that that guy gave his stuff to the person who doesn't smell like marijuana, then you can think whatever you want. But you got to have a reasonable, you got to be reasonable for you to search that lady looking for some marijuana that this guy might have had. That's a real stretch, and if the law supports that, that's a problem. The woman was a victim of a Terry pat down. Or stop and frisk and sexual assault, a violation of her constitutional rights and human rights. Back of the hand or not. That back of the hand stuff is crazy. If you're talking about touching somebody's private part, going down in their underwear and stuff like in their pants and stuff like that. Searching and touching a woman's vagina during a traffic stop in or outside of her clothing is criminal. I don't care if you smell weed on a passenger or not. Hell, you can smell like weed walking by some people smoking weed, being at a party where they smoke weed. I'm very confused. What genius thinks that it's appropriate to touch someone's private area if you use the back of your hand? What an authoritarian, totalitarian, illogical, unrealistic, plantation concept, particularly if the suspect has not committed or is suspected of a crime. Is there any reason these geniuses don't have a metal detector? That would surely indicate if the individual had any thing metallic, gun or knife, in their private area. Or was he looking for marijuana in the vagina of the person police did not state they smelled marijuana on? One thing for sure, it's not a safety issue. So all that searching he was doing a little too much searching from the criminal defense lawyer. No love. What is the violation of Kentucky marijuana laws? Violations are Class B misdemeanor punishable with a fine of up to $250, and 45 days in jail or both, right? Violations are Class B, right? It is illegal to cultivate marijuana plants in Kentucky. This includes planting, cultivating, and harvesting. Okay, they smelled some marijuana. Marijuana possession, sale. The marijuana, the manufacturer. Marijuana possession, sale, and manufacture are regulated by both state and federal law. Marijuana is classified as Schedule 1 substance, which means that it is a high potential for abuse and no recognized medical value. You could abuse anything, but we're going to go ahead. While not covered in this article, it is also a crime to drive under the influence of marijuana. It's a crime to drive under the intoxicated period, right? Most places, right? Marijuana possession in Kentucky, it's a crime to possess any amount of marijuana, including small amounts for personal use. Violations are a Class B misdemeanor, punishable with a fine up to $250 to 45 days in jail. Okay? So, there you have it. So, they didn't find any marijuana on the man. They didn't find nothing in the vehicle, and they didn't find nothing on the woman. But they did find, a vagina. Because I guess he was looking for that. So Because why was he touching her down there? This woman was neither selling or driving under the influence of marijuana. In fact, no one was driving under the influence. And the man who smelled like marijuana and admitted smoking earlier that day was not in possession of marijuana. Louisville marijuana laws apply to possession of marijuana, not smelling like marijuana, after the use of marijuana. That is why they decided to search for contraband to charge someone for a crime. So they're trying to create a crime. They're trying to find a crime. And in trying to find a crime, they violated the law. It looked like this woman was stopped simply so that the trainee could practice stopping and searching of someone, in this case, a woman. The training officer asked the woman if she had anything on her and allowed her to go back to the driver's side of the door, right? They were used as a training tool. The officer was very cavalier about the whole ordeal and explained what part of the hand should be used to touch during the search. Does law enforcement think that it is appropriate to touch a woman's vagina during a Terry pat, a body search, or anything like that with any part of the hand, especially during a traffic stop? Is it legal, ethical to stick the back of your hand in her on her vagina or in her underwear because someone smelled marijuana on someone else during a traffic stop? As said, were they under arrest? Were they read their rights? Not in the video, I couldn't tell. That is a constitutional violation by all officers involved that supported the violation. That's what I think. I sense the traffic stop was not genuine. Something just smells about the whole ordeal. Gilnett took the fall, but not really. He remained on the police force until caught stealing marijuana from police stops and giving it to his girlfriend. So that's drug trafficking, but he was allowed to resign from the police force and plead guilty to official misconduct. Ain't that nice? When did drug trafficking become official misconduct? This is a police officer, the guy who just got finished sexually assaulting somebody, abusing somebody, right? Why can't guys on the street or civilians get to plead a drug trafficking charge down to misconduct? I wonder if anybody put their hands up, Gilnett's butt cheek grabbing his jewels. What about his girlfriend's vagina, right? How come he's not in jail? Guess there is still two laws, one for civilians, one for black folks, and one for law enforcement. Oh, that's three laws. I say law enforcement looks out for law enforcement still. Everything that happened or didn't happen after the alleged traffic stop was law enforcement looking out for law enforcement. The message I'm getting is stealing marijuana was perceived as a greater crime. Stealing marijuana was perceived as a lesser crime than violating the black folks' constitutional rights and sexually assaulting a black woman. She sued for a lousy $50,000, but Gilnett remained on the force. Gilnett should register as a sexual predator. Now she needs to get another lawyer. To assault the injury, the officer spoke to the woman as if nothing traumatic and degrading had occurred. Just a rookie mistake. Now, that's not a good man. That's a good cop because he know how to smooth things over. He's good at what he does as a police officer. Anyway, so that reasonable suspicion that a visible individual is armed, engaged, and about to commit a criminal act, right? The officer may briefly stop and detain an individual for a pat-down, search, out of clothing. So you already went over that, right? So They could have stopped them and searched them, but all that going in the pants, feeling somebody's vagina, and that's got to be, that's degrading to the man. The man, he took that pretty well. There's a video on it. The brother, he took that pretty well, because I don't know. I don't even know why they were searching the lady. She don't smell like weed. So the chances is what's the reason? Because he smells like weed. So he gonna give it something to her to hide. He gonna give the weed for her to hide because she don't smell like weed. Get out of here. That's the case. You can search anybody they come in contact with because they could have gave them something. Because you want to think that they could have gave them something. Anyway, Floyd versus the city of New York, right? The court held that the New York stop and frisk policy violated the Fourth Amendment because it rendered stops and frisks more frequent for blacks and Hispanics, for minorities. So they wasn't trying to stop these white folks, right? They just trying to... using it to ride herd on these black folks and these Hispanics, right? First, it's a violation of a person's privacy and a sexual assault that took place, right? The question is, why is a police officer touching someone's private part, in this case, a female? The couple just happened to be black, who have been disproportionately subjected to stop and frisk. What is the reasonable reason to search and seize the woman if the man admitted to smoking marijuana? What did the officer hope to find in her private part? Again, I ask that question. So officers are covered by applicable U.S. Supreme Court case law, even if there's not probable cause for an arrest. All you need is reasonable suspicion for a Terry pat, right, they say. So what the hell is that? Reasonable suspicion, anything he can articulate. So you just, any story you can make up, that's reasonable suspicion. Yeah, but he was sitting in the car with her, so he might have gave it to her when he seen us while she's driving. Okay. All right. Or he gave it to her. Listen, people usually carry their own weed, and I'm sure those cops, especially Gilnett, knows that. Nobody passing weed around like that. You stop them on an illegal stop. They're not looking for the police. Doesn't make a difference who had the weed on them. The man is smoking it, going to have that weed on him. If he smoked weed, he probably going to have the weed in his 9 times out of 10. He going to have that weed on him. Anyway. Seems to... They go on to say that there is no law that says male officers can't search a female subject. Some agency procedures that precludes it absent exigent circumstances, right? Like somebody stuffed something down their pants, like I was saying, right? If you stick a gun down there, they're going to get it. It's not going to nobody worry about your private part when you're sticking a pistol down there. Neither are you, because if you put it down there, you know, they're going after it. No court has said that the male officer can't search a female subject in the case where there's no female officer around. You simply have to do it correctly. Definition of correctly is going to vary from agency to agency. But in general terms, we're talking about using the back or edges of the hands to do the search, not the palms. They still are not mentioning private parts. So what's going on here? And what is with the back of the hand? You think we don't have feeling on the back of our hand or edge of our hand? What kind of bullshit is that? Anyway, excuse me. Trying not to cuss. Anyway, needless to say, they said consult your police department for specific the P&Ps for specific guidance. I don't know what P&Ps are. I don't even know what that is. Anyway, can this author skip the violation of the woman's constitutional right and law? What does doing it right have to do with touching a woman's vagina during an alleged traffic stop for for smelling marijuana. Is it not clear why they stopped the couple? It's not clear. What was the nature of the alleged traffic stop? If it was an illegal stop, that would make it wrong, it the wrong way at the wrong time. In short, if the stop was the result of racial profiling and targeting of black people, the search was also unreasonable and a violation of their Fourth Amendment rights. There was no reason to stop them, and the search, the search and the seizure was illegal. The officer smelled marijuana on the passenger after the alleged traffic stop. So from CNN, the Louisville Metro Police Department in Kentucky is facing at least three lawsuits alleging that police used the pretext of a traffic stop, right, to pull over African-American drivers and conduct racially biased, unconstitutional searches and seizures, according to the suits. And that's what I was thinking about this whole situation, because they never say, well, they ran a red light that was going 90 and 30 and 35 on speed zone. They say, I didn't see anybody report anything like that. And sometimes what they don't say says a lot. So the traffic part on stops were part of the departmental program intended to reduce violent crime, but resulted in police officers targeting African-Americans in specific neighborhoods. You feel me? So that goes to speak to that thing about you're not going to stop no white people in an affluent neighborhood. She ain't gonna have to get out. If you smell wine, I bet you any amount of money, they're not going in none of their pants, reaching up between their legs, grabbing a coochie. It's not happening. Anyway, lawsuits state that the police chief, Steve Conrad, does not have policies or training in place to protect people from of color from discriminatory action by his officer. The policy is to lock them up when they do it. So you can't change what's in a man's heart. I keep saying that. These guys are racist, aggressive, sexual predators and things like that. You have to punish them, not fire them, not let them plead to a lesser charge. You have to punish them. As long as you keep doing this crap, this is what they've been doing for years. This is why it continues, because the consequences is not severe enough to prevent these guys from saying, hey, I want to do that, but I'm not going to do it. That's why it's continuing to go on. Anyway, the idea of profiling blacks is not above or beneath Louisville police, at least not according to the three lawsuits. That would make everything they did a crime. So I suspect that the alleged traffic stop was an illegal traffic stop. So, all this thing about probable cause, reasonable, articulable reason and all that stuff, that's out the window, man. I think that's just a vague way of giving the police excuse to stop you and just say something. Just don't say you stopped them. You look suspicious. Just make something up if that's what they're going through to make. Yeah. The officers must reasonably believe that the woman had contraband in or on her vagina. How many pounds of weed was she expecting to find? How would they expect to find on her stuff? Or did he find what he was looking for, her vagina? Did they see her stuff, something in her pants? To articulate the facts, forming the basis for probable cause would mean just that. You saw her. She did some kind of move, like she was, you know, something. You just can't assume somebody might have something in their pants. That's a bunch of bullshit. Still wondering on why they stopped a couple. Racial profiling, maybe? No, they wouldn't do that in Louisiana. They wouldn't do that. Are we supposed to accept our women being searched if a police officer smells marijuana on you? You don't have to smoke marijuana to smell like marijuana. And just on a precaution tip, look, if you're using drugs, don't bring that around your woman and your family, your baby. Just because of some nonsense like this. You ain't clean, don't be around your peoples. That's no law against that either, but I'm just saying. You have to use some discretion. Why do you think it is less offensive? Why do they think it's less offensive for a woman to search and or touch a woman's vagina than it is for a man to touch her? I don't get that either. That makes no sense to me. And I'm not even going to try and figure that out because, you know, especially over BS like this, she's not sticking nothing down there. She doesn't smell like marijuana. Is she a known drug dealer? Have you taken stuff out of her crotch before? I mean, it's like so many things that, like, what is your reason for doing that to this lady? She seemed, you know, upset. You know, she was all right, but she, even if them pat down, she was okay. Okay, you're going to pat me down. Okay, all right. Come on. Like, she was okay till the man grabbed her crotch, going up all in her stuff. So, the reasonable suspicion is a standard established by the Supreme Court in 1968. Based upon the trainer's experience, there is a reason to believe that the individual is engaging in a criminal activity. Now, she's just driving down the street. As what's the criminal activity? Smoking. Only criminal activity you could possibly be looking for here is she smoked weed, but she didn't smell like weed. God said, dudes in here smell like weed. Gilnett was on the side where the lady was. He didn't smell no weed. Guy on the other side smelled weed, so I don't have a suspicion that she was smoking weed. But still, I don't see no law that says, I didn't see anything that says there's a law if you smoke some weed and you smell like weed. Or say you smoke like smoke weed. Say, okay, because they ain't haul them in. So it must not be any law broken there. Or is it some law like that down there? I don't know, but if it is, they didn't get arrested for it. So for this to be decided by the Supreme Court, it is very vague and broad. A police officer can just say, based on his training and experience, there is a reason to believe the individual was engaging in criminal activity. Come on now. They had reasonable suspicion to search the man who admitted to smoking marijuana and smelled like marijuana. The only evidence gathered was the police cam of the police illegal search, seizure, and sexual assault. So where's the stuff on the police cam before the stop? Like, what's going on that they stopped these folks? Anyway, no ticket was written for the traffic violation. I found no mention of a traffic violation. What was it? So it seems like, I found something about this trainer was saying some crap. Betsy Branter Smith, a noted police trainer and retired patrol aide sergeant. She's a lead instructor for a Calibre Press Street Survival Seminar. FBI studies bear this out, she said. Who's being given the gun to carry? Females. And a woman can kill you just as quickly as a male. We better be teaching male officers how to search female prisoners and detainees, she said. This is another fear tactic. I guess that's what's in nowadays, right? Anyway, criminalizing and demonizing black folk never ends. There is no gun involved in this stop. Are they searching for weapons, contraband, in the vaginas of white women during traffic stops in more affluent communities? I think not. I did see two white women being sexually violated on a highway by a female law enforcement officer. I saw that on YouTube. Crazy. Check it out. And for the record, law enforcement can kill you quickly and get away with it. So, anyway, this chick was she spoke highly of the Washington State Patrol Academy, right, which she regards as one of the best when it comes to dealing with female searches. Got some experts using the back of their hand, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, they use these volunteer trainees to tell them if it's a more like a grope or a pat down, right? Okay, that have nothing to do with what they're going to actually do when they get on the street. It's not rocket science. Back of the hand on palms and fingertips. Keep your hands off people's private parts and don't violate their constitutional human rights. That is only hard to do if you have been in the habit of violating their constitutional and human rights and their bodies. No probable cause or reasonable, articulable suspicion. No looking for anything in private parts. Are you kidding? Now I'm going to move on to the next situation. Because last week we talked about this idiot that ran up to the, drove a couple hundred miles to kill some black folks in a supermarket. And I talked about how was he able to walk out with the weapon he just had finished murdering people with and place it to his own head. I mean, that little movement, how was he able to do that? Right? So I saw this story about a guy. I think he's in Texas. His name was Jalen Randall. Fatally shot by a Houston cop. I thought this was strange because this guy was, I think he was wanted. He's a 29-year-old black man. He was police in Houston fatally shot him in the back of the head, back of the neck, not even last month, right? Ben Crump is on the scene, so you know. Randall was pulled over on April 27th after a chase for what cops said were three felony warrants. So he's got three felony warrants on him, right? Okay. Shane Privet gets out of his vehicle and shouts. He's running before he demands to see Randall's hands, right? Before he can finish saying hand, a shot rings out and the police yells, "Oh, shit," as Privet continues to point his weapon. Another officer handcuffs Randall as he lies face down on the ground. He shot him in the back of the neck, close to the head, like, right? So I'm like, number one, why do they keep doing that? That's weird. You handcuff somebody that's dead, number one. If you don't know, that's a dead man you handcuffing. Or if he's shot in the back of the head, what are you handcuffing him for? These guys are weird. He ain't getting no resistance from a dead man. He can't tell that man is dead. What happens to the offering assistance to keep this man alive? So I just thought that was some weird stuff going on with these guys. Anyway, Randall was shot in the back of the neck, right? The witness have said that he got out of the car and was running away. Crump said, "We believe the body cameras will show that." Where are they? The released video doesn't appear to show what direction Randall was moving in, but it does show that there wasn't much time given to comply with the officer's demand, Crump said, right? Benjamin Crump. Y'all know him. Every time there's some civil rights stuff, somebody get murdered, their rights are violated. Benjamin Crump is on it. Anyway, the release of the footage, of this footage, while heartbreaking for the family, gives a clear picture of what happened to Jalen in his final moments, Crump said in a statement. The brutality displayed in the video is extremely disturbing, from the officer firing a deadly shot, seemingly as ordered Jalen to put his hands up to the way they handcuffed and dragged his lifeless body across the ground. You got to see it. Look, why are you handcuffing a dead man? And you're supposed to be, I thought when they shoot somebody, you're supposed to go over there and try to help them. But they didn't try to help this guy. They handcuffed him and dragged his body across the ground. So pay close attention to this. You brothers, y'all out here in these situations with these cops. And if there's certain people out there that don't, your life ain't worth a dime to them. Especially if you moving erratically and you not obeying them. Some people will kill you for that. That's why this guy did. Instead of all of just surrendering, he went through this whole thing about trying to get away. And, you know, even when he couldn't get away, possibly get away, he still was trying to get away, right? That doesn't mean that these people should have shot him anywhere. The shooting took place as Randall got out of a silver SUV, according to police. Approximately 2:45 p.m., officers observed Mr. Randall get out of the passenger seat of the vehicle. Officers activated lights and sirens in an attempt to get the vehicle to stop, right? The driver of the vehicle refused, and a pursuit ensued. Officers performed a pursuit intervention technique, whatever that is, causing the vehicle to come to a stop. I don't know what that means, to hit the back of it or what. I don't know. Mr. Randall exited the passenger side of the vehicle. He then reached back into the vehicle. An officer gave a verbal command to Mr. Randall to show his hand. The officer fired one shot, striking him. Officers began to render first aid on Mr. Randall. Put handcuffs on his back? What do? They put handcuffs on him first, or did they shoot him first? Or first aid first? Which, how was that? Anyway, Randall was holding a shoe and a bag that he dropped after being shot. Of course, he's dead, right? They found a gun inside the bag. Oh, that's reasonable suspicion, probable cause to shoot him in the back of the head. But of course, this police officer could tell there was a gun in that brown bag, right? That's why he shot him before he finished giving out his order, right? Randall's cause of death was a gunshot wound to the neck, right? So, Randall was shot in the back of the neck and killed because he had a bag and a shoe in his hand and was moving. Did he kill anyone? Did he point a gun at anyone? Did he threaten to kill anyone? Did anyone see a gun? Where is the lethal threat? And how come only one officer used lethal force? I don't know if you guys remember, it was a guy, Laquan McDonald, in Chicago. He had a knife. He had mental health issues. Police on the scene, you know, just they surrounded him. And he's, you know, going, walking down the street with this, I don't know, like one of them Army, Navy knives, a little knives, pocket knife, right? This other guy comes up on the scene, and within 30 seconds of this guy, 28 to 30 seconds of this guy, he drives up to where near Laquan McDonald. Within about 28, 30 seconds, Laquan is dead from being shot, 16 times by this guy. Just got up on the scene. This guy's already on the scene. Only person shot was the guy who murdered him, right? So he couldn't have made an appropriate assessment in 28 seconds. Here, this guy right here is the only officer that shot. So where's the lethal threat? But the lethal threat is officers there. Anyway, he don't know what's in the bag. It could have been a hoagie. Could have been a pickle or something. We don't know what was in the bag. Could have been some Skittles. And as we know, Skittles will get you killed too. Anyway, they said Randall was not given an opportunity to respond to police command and was shot. It appears a mass murderer in body armor in Buffalo, New York, with an AR-15 in his hands had more time to respond to police commands, and he had just killed 10 and wounded 3 innocent people. I guess that brown bag was life-threatening. I guess that, I don't know. Is that the new thing of beware of the brown bags? Or was it simply the brown skin? Privet was an officer since 2014. That's about 8 years on the force. He's on administrative leave. He was indicted in 2019 for allegedly kneeing a drug suspect in the face. The charges were thrown out, and he was cleared. Just to give you some background on Privet, I ain't really researching. This is just on this article. The driver, he was charged with resisting, fleeing in an attempt to elude a police officer. So anyway, I thought it was interesting. Benjamin Crump said, to quote in this article, "It's hard to believe that on the eve of the second anniversary of the murder of George Floyd, and from George's hometown of Houston, we are still begging the police to stop killing us. We demand full justice for Jalen Randall and his family. This officer needs to be held accountable immediately." So it's under investigation. But it's in the back of the head, so I don't see how the Privet can get out of that. But then again, I see how he can get out of it. Anyway, so to quote, "We are still begging the police to stop killing us." Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result? I'm going to, if nobody want to say anything about that situation right there. Come back from last week, because I thought it was interesting. Got a suspect here. We don't have no dead people, no active anything. And he ends up dead, and he shot in the back of the head. And homeboy just drove hundreds of miles to kill some black folks, and he gets to walk out with the gun put up to his neck and gets talked out of different places, different everything like that. We get it. I get it. But do you get what I'm saying? Anyway, from WSKG, PBS NPR, this is very tragic situation here. I know we all know about it. The Robb Elementary School shooting, right? And what I'm going to talk about is the police response to that, right? Because it's weird. If the police, I guess, is no lack of response to this situation. At the Robb Elementary School shooting, right, in Uvalde, Texas, right? A gunman spent more than an hour inside the school before a tactical unit killed him. But there were officers on the scene earlier, before the tactical unit, right? That raised questions with the police response, really, lack of response, right? And whether some of the 19 children and 2 teachers who died may have been saved if it had taken a different approach. Are you kidding? I got an hour to kill as many people as I want. Are you kidding? And there's cops right outside. That's like saying, well, kill as many people as you want for the next hour to we get somebody that got enough heart to come in here after you. That's just saying that. The shooter entered the school at 11:33 a.m., but officers didn't kill him until about 12:50. Something is wrong with that picture. From USA Today, Texas children begged for help with officers waiting outside. What? Be very mad about that, they say. Yes. I say be outraged and let the heads roll, because that is ridiculous. Outside, police officers in a small Texas community stood guard, believing that things were safe inside the school. Now, we're going to dissect this thing right here. Outside, they said, police officers in a small Texas community stood guard, right, believing, right, things were safe inside the school. Just right there, that just like, how can they? How can you do that? It's like going to a bank robbery, staying outside of the bank, saying that everything is cool. You ain't seen a bank robber. You ain't seen the staff in the bank or nothing. They believe they had a barricade situation. Somebody just holding up in the school. It's 11:30. This thing had started, right? 11:30, you anybody in their right mind knows school was in session, right? They believe they had a barricade situation and were no longer responding to an active shooter. Well, if you got an active shooter, there's only two ways you not responding to that. One, that threat has been terminated, right? Or, for some miraculous way, you was able to, as they did in Buffalo, talk this guy out of shooting after he finished shooting as many people as he wanted to, I guess. I don't know. But this is just crazy. Anyway, so he either surrendered or you killed him, right? So they said they thought they weren't, there was no long responding to an active shooter with no kids at risk. No kids at risk. No kids at risk because any civilians inside were already dead. Well, how can you make that assessment from the outside? That's what I want to know. Inside, meanwhile, children were calling 911 begging for help. They were still being killed. The shooting was still going on. It wasn't over. 19 children and two teachers get gunned down while officers were right outside waiting. Right outside waiting. Guarding the building. What kind of nonsense is that? This is what I think. I just think they just said that that's their way of covering their behinds. The guy who said it, he didn't want to go in there. You know what I'm saying? That don't make no sense. They talk about some miscommunication. I didn't know miscommunication. There's no only person. The communication should come from a person who was in the school, clearing each hall, each stairway, each room for safety, right? Until you get to that gunman, right? No one went inside the school to confront the shooter or the people inside. How can anyone think or believe that the situation went from an active shooter to a barricade situation? You have to be in the school to make that assessment. You have to have gone from north to south, east to west in that school to make that assessment, right? Up and down, right? You have to been to every room in that school to make that assessment. You have to account for everybody in that school to make that assessment that everybody had been killed. What in the world's going on here? How do you make that? This guy, I'm going to keep on. Let me go. Because this is crazy. Because it's a shame that these people got killed and police right outside. All them guys need to take their guns off and they need to hire some more people. Anyway. Can't these Keystone cops hear shots being fired? What were they guarding outside of school that was invaded by an armed monster randomly killing children and staff? How can an active shooter situation become a barricade situation based on what police believe instead of what they know? Because this is not no religion here. You can know what's going on in that school. How can they know anything? Anything from outside of the school, outside of where the active danger is, where the young lives are being taken? How is that possible? And how does man fix his mouth to even say some stuff like that? What about the 9/11 calls that were being made by the children? Were they assumed to be dead too? Who do they think was making them calls? It seems law enforcement has not learned from past experience from USA Today. One of the big lessons they say we learned from Columbine High School shooting 23 years ago is that law enforcement cannot afford to wait for backup in situations like this. I'm going to say that one more time. One of the big lessons learned from the Columbine High School shootings 23 years. 23, this should be standard for these folks. They should, but to me, it doesn't even make sense. If anybody pulling out a gun or anything that presenting that type of situation, that's an immediate response. Because people are going to die. You got an active shooter, it's time to get at that person. Anyway, they said they learned 23 years ago is that law enforcement cannot afford to wait for backup. Why? And you check this out. You ain't going to believe this in situations like this. They must confront an active shooter as quickly as possible. Amen. Right? Columbine students and staff were on their own for 47 minutes after the shooting rang out in their school on April 20th, 1999. As police prepared their SWAT response, two shooters killed 12 students and a teacher. Don't police have guns? Anyway, at Robb Elementary School, students and staff were largely on their own for about an hour, right? As police worked to secure the scene and prepare their response. What? One shooter killed 21 people before the cops finally took him down. Stephen McCraw, director of the Texas Department of Public Safety, explained Friday that the commander at the scene had decided at some point that the incident was no longer an active shooter situation. How dumb of a commander is this? Instead, it had supposedly become a barricaded suspect situation. This is why the police said they kept their distance. Hear that? This made the police force look like fools and cowards. No one person should have that much power in the face of a known active shooter. Tell me, the commander has been fired and may face criminal charges. It can only be a barricade situation if the suspect is barricaded in the building and is not presenting a lethal threat to others. The shooter would have to be in the building alone, confined to a section of the building where he could not kill anyone, does not want to kill anyone, or maybe threatening to kill. This killer has not only killed, but is actively killing children. Actively killing children. They should have took control of the building section by section while confronting this murderer until the suspect could not kill because there is no one to kill or the threat has been terminated. the police should have eyes and ears on the shooter and the students and the school. You can't do that from outside the building. And when the shooter is killing children inside the building, the only people that were safe were the police. And that's what it seemed like to me. What is the rule when a commanding officer makes a poor decision at a scene? Can he be immediately relieved of his command by the next highest ranking officer on the scene? They need to consider such a rule if they don't have one. It would seem that the police would have immediately went into the school to get control of the situation to save lives and eliminate the threat. From WSKG PBS NPR. I'm running out of time here. Okay, so there are a few national standards, right? When it comes to this, they say in a year since the Columbine school shooting, law enforcement officers have been trained to engage an active shooter as soon as possible. So that tells me everybody there knew they should have went into that school and put that threat down. The protocol is as soon as you determine there is an active shooter, you don't wait for anyone, right? You ain't waiting for squat, nobody, right? You're not waiting for nothing. You're going in there and save them kids. Anyway, you enter and move and neutralize it, maybe at your own peril, right? You put your life on the line, right? Kids need help more than you need help. That's right, because those kids ain't strapped. You are. You got something that could deal with that. After the gunman shot at police officers, right, they called for resources like body armor and marksmen, assuming he was barricading himself inside. How does that mean he's barricading himself? That, I thought that meant he's shooting at them. That don't have nothing to do with a barricade. You can't assume he's barricading himself in the school during the school time, and you got school kids calling about help. But McGraw said on Friday that if police believed people were still alive in the school, they would have been obligated to show greater urgency. What do you mean? You can't believe nothing. You have to go in there into the school, and it's a fact that no one is in the school in danger. You have to go into the school. What is? I guess this is another. This is one of those things. Watch how they get out of this here. There were 19 officers in there, right? That's plenty of officers to do whatever they need to be done. 19 guys with, how many clips they got? 4 clips and a 9mm handgun. Y'all couldn't handle one kid with a semi-automatic weapon? 19 police? That's very suspect to assume it was a barricade situation when no one made contact with the shooter or people or children in the school calling for help. Because the shooter shot at police, they assumed he was barricading himself and called for backup and body armor. That sounds more like I'm scared. I might get shot. Let's get some protection and some guys that are trained to kill to deal with this threat. That's what that sounds like to me. Those police could have gave their weapons to some of the parents and more lives would have been saved. I read that cops told kids in the school, right? They came in the school, yell if you need help. When one did, the gunman came over and shot her. Just, oh, that's crazy. Not yell, be quiet, we'll get to you. That's what you say. Be quiet, we're coming your way. We're clearing this joker out. Stay low, be quiet, because anything standing, you're going to take out. Stay low, keep your head down, right? That is foolish if you are not in control of the area. Can't assure safety, and the gunman is still at large. Then they went on to say the shooter entered the school at 11:33, but the officers didn't kill him till about 12:50. This guy had the nerve to kill somebody with the officers in the school. They're calling the police response sluggish. That's not sluggish. Sluggish means slow. These guys are outside of the school, waiting, guarding. That's not a sluggish response. That's a no response. Which they need to get another police force. They got kids calling from 12:03 to 12:51 because they want to live, and that's right. I get it. They said that the response was woefully inept and likely contribute to the number of lives lost in that small Texas town. That's a damn shame. But they also made a good point. The first step is not about police responding. It is keeping the problem outside the school. So it's a physical security first. That entails locking doors and setting up practices to secure student areas if a person does get outside. The gunman entered Robb Elementary through a back door that a teacher had left propped open. Moments earlier, the teacher had left the school to get her cell phone. This is definitely food for thought. The first step is to ensure that the school building cannot be breached by anyone, parent or predator. It is irresponsible for the teacher to leave the door open no matter how many times she may have done it. It may seem like a harmless transgression until someone comes in that door to kill. We're running out of time, y'all. I want to thank everybody for calling in today, listening. I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, my callers and listeners, everybody. That these are 2-3 tragic incidents and in the news. I don't even, this is this last one, I don't even know what to say. I think I said all I could. Till next week, y'all. Each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.